And that's fine. Let's start by reading some scriptures. Today we're going to read John chapter 14, verse 27, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, and then Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. I'll read that list again. John 14, 27, Ephesians 4, 27, Colossians 3, 15, and Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. In John chapter 14, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 27, he says, this is Paul writing, he says, "Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity." And I draw your attention especially to that last phrase, "and do not give the devil an opportunity." Colossians chapter 3, in verse 15, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." And finally, Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. In fact, I'd like you to read this out loud and together with me, okay? So here we go. Let's read this out loud and together with me. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle." Amen. I've titled this "Letting the Peace of Christ Rule, Part 2," because we started with Part 1 last week. We'll see how far we get here. I just want to remind you of things that we've considered. That first and foremost, God's peace is his will for you. God wants you to walk, to live in a continual abiding peace that is possible because of what Jesus purchased. It's very important. You know, I think many of us try to get through life. We would like the benefits of God. We're certainly open to them. I'm not against blessing. But you know what? If it doesn't happen, I got to get on with my life anyway. And there can be an attitude within us that we're open-minded. We like the idea of blessing. But because there isn't this, "I cannot do without it," we are open-minded to just getting on with things, whether or not we're enjoying blessing or not. And that has to change. The things of God, I've sought to set this before you from the scriptures. The things of God, God's good will for you. He really does mean to do you good, but there is a part that you have to play. God will not overrule you. And I know that that sounds kind of astonishing, and maybe for some, if your way of thinking before that is in a certain way, you might think that that's even blasphemy to say that God will not overrule you. Let me be clear. I'm not saying that there is nothing that God cannot do without your participation. There are things that he's going to do regardless of what men say. You know, Psalm 2 comes to mind, where God says, "As for me, I'm going to do this. It doesn't matter what everybody else says. I've installed my king on my holy mountain. You guys can squabble all you want, but this is going to happen." Of course, God is God, and he can do whatever he wants. But we must understand the way the benefits that God purchased for us on the cross work out require your participation. They really do. And I don't want to keep making, you know, taking time to build this case, but it has to do with how faith works. Everything that God wants to do in your life and mine now is going to be on the basis of faith. It says that we were saved by grace through faith in Ephesians. So that pattern, he does something for us that we cannot deserve, and it is received through faith, is something that is repeated over and over in every aspect of our lives before God. And faith cannot be forced. Amongst the various things that we could say about a real, genuine faith in God, one of the things we could say is this: It is a choice. It is not, if God just sort of conked us on the head, drugged us, and made us believe everything, it wouldn't be the faith that comes from God. The faith that comes from God involves a choice to take him at his word. Remember, what God is doing in you goes so far beyond just your circumstances changing. He is making you a person who genuinely is in love with God. And you can't force love. I think that should be almost plainly obvious, right? It sort of cracks me up. You know those stories where people try to do some magic and make a love potion to get somebody to fall in love with them, and so they get them to drink it by some sneaky way, and now that person is in love with them? Of what value is that? At the back of your mind, you're always going to know, this person didn't choose. This person is only doing this because I made them do it. And what value is that? That's not how God is. And that's why our part is so, it's critical that we understand it. You know, it's critical we understand it, not just so that we're not sort of waiting around wondering what's going to happen. The fact of the matter is, when we are not enjoying the benefit that's supposed to be ours in Jesus, it can become discouraging. And it is a frightening and sad thought to think that there are Christians waiting and waiting and waiting and wondering why God isn't doing this, when the whole problem is God has done something and you're not playing your part. What an astonishing thing. The price for all of our sins, not just yours and mine, but for the price of the entire world, has been paid on the cross. He is the Savior of all men, especially believers, is what the scriptures say. He wiped out the cost of sin completely for every single person. And yet, so many don't participate in it. God will not overrule you. And this is very important to understand. I am not saying that God cannot overrule you, that he is powerless. I'm saying in his wisdom, the way that God works involves your choice. And our lives are the way they are, not because of what other people have done, not because of what the government did or did not do, not because of the economy. Our lives are the way they are because of how we have chosen to react to what has happened to us. And God wants us to bring us into a wisdom that says, well, if that's the case, then I want to be careful how I react to things. Because I don't want to keep hitting myself on the head. It's one thing to get hit on the head. It's one thing for some evil person to come and do something nasty to me. But it's a completely different thing for me to keep letting that being hit on my head over and over and over again. Right? It's one thing for me to be coming robbed. It's another thing for me to keep letting my house be broken into. I can't control all the things that happen to me, but I can control what I choose to do. And that is something very important that we understand. And we have been looking in one aspect of that, and that has to do with the peace of God. God wants us to walk in a sense of peace. And in a sense, I've only limited myself to considering, sort of being at an even keel, whatever happens. Not being thrown off by difficulty or tragedy or some wicked thing that happens to you. You're not thrown off track and thrown into a tizzy over it because of the peace of God working in your life. Peace matters. And I think too many of us, I suspect too many of us in circumstances, do without the peace of God. And we shouldn't be that way. So my first point that I made to you was, it really matters. Don't be a person who can get by without God's peace affecting you. You got to start saying to the Lord, Father, this matters. It matters to me. And we've also seen that it has been given. God is not withholding it. Jesus says, my peace I give to you. The issue is now we must let it rule. In other words, there's a part that we have to play, as I said. And I think I touched upon this last week, if not the week before. Peace ruling in our hearts, the peace that comes from God ruling in our hearts, starts with us having peace with God. That is critical. You know, just because you go to church and just because you go to our church doesn't mean that you have peace with God. There are people who have heard all the right Christian things to hear, and they could probably even repeat them. But that doesn't mean that they personally have recognized that what Jesus did was for them. And because they personally, with words that they themselves put together, it's not just a matter of repeating something that somebody else said, but from their heart they express this thought that it was for me that you died. And with that death, you paid my price. Then what happens is that person is brought into a place where, as far as God is concerned, there is no more war. God is not out to get you. I'll go further and say this. God is not out to get anybody, I would contend. But very few people enjoy the benefit of it because they have not personally believed. One of the most important things that your life must be founded on is this. Because I believed in Jesus, I have peace with God. God is not at war with me, and I'm not going to be at war with him. Without that, how can the peace of God rule in your heart? If you are always open to the thought, maybe this is happening because God is mad at me. You know, I'm driving my car, and I didn't see the red light, drive through it, smash into somebody else, my fault. My car is totaled, that car is totaled, my insurance is going to call, and there goes any extra money I had for this year. If I'm open-minded to the thought, the reason why that happened is because God is just mad at me. And he lets things like that happen to get me to pay attention. How can peace in that circumstance rule? God is not out to get us. He may discipline us. He can use bad circumstances and turn them around to bring about something in us. I don't doubt or deny that. But we have to always begin every day with this thought, God is for me. That's what Jesus did on the cross. Even if everything goes, you know, how do people put it? If everything goes on its head and it goes terrible today, God is not the author of it. He is not out to somehow mess me up. He loves me. We must start with this. Because of the price that Jesus paid, because of the blood that is speaking on your behalf and mine, we have peace with God. God is not our enemy. How many Christians live their life thinking that God is their enemy? And how tragic that is. We start here. God, the peace that we have with God, is the basis for peace of God ruling in our hearts. I want to draw your attention to that passage we read in Ephesians. I'll first of all acknowledge that what I'm about to say isn't specifically in the context of that passage. That passage is talking about anger. And yes, we could talk about anger and how we must handle it. It's not wrong to get angry, right? The scriptures don't tell us that it's wrong to get angry. It's what you do with that anger that really is the issue. But what I draw your attention to is this little passage at the end, and don't give the devil an opportunity. As if how you deal with your anger can give the devil an opportunity. And there's a lot to think about there. One of the first things that we can say is, you know, that must mean that the devil needs an opportunity to be able to do what he wants to do in our lives. And if you think about it, we already know about that. Jesus rendered him powerless. For him to do anything to mess up our lives, we have to give him an opportunity. And so I want to ask you, in this area of peace, do you, without intending to necessarily, without being, you know, just determined to mess with God or to disobey God, do you inadvertently give the devil an opportunity when it comes to peace? And by that I mean this. You and I know that in our lives, all sorts of stuff happens. Some of it's good and some of it's really bad. And it can throw our day off. Have you been in a situation where, okay, let's say somebody says something to you in a snippy way. And they had no right to say it. They were wrong to say it. But it goes deeper in you than it should. And, you know, you spend the rest, at least a good part of the rest of the day, just chewing on that, thinking, oh, how could they say that? Where did they get the right to even think that way? And before you know it, you're spending whatever you're doing, you know, digging in the garden or working or making supper, and you're actually chewing on what this person did. What's happening there? Number one, you got hit with a fiery dart. That's why it goes deeper in you than just, whatever, and you shake it off. There's something attached, emotion attached, that the devil shot at you with an intention of getting you to react. Number two, you reacted in a poor way. You gave the devil an opportunity by being caught up with it. The scriptures talk about how to handle when other people do things to us that they shouldn't do. It talks about how to handle circumstances where you are tempted to be anxious and worry. And my question is, do we really need to pay much attention to Jesus saying, don't give the devil an opportunity? Like, you know, the stuff that's going on in your life, could it be the way it is because you've been given the devil an opportunity? Though you didn't mean to, you weren't planning to, but because of the way you reacted to things happening, instead of causing peace to reign in a circumstance, you give the devil an opportunity to continue to come in and hit you. I think one of the classic examples is forgiveness. People do stuff. People do wicked things to one another. I am sure I'm not the only person who's been treated unfairly, let alone in a very poor way. So now, what is my reaction to that? Well, if I am wise, I will hear the words of Jesus when he says, as you've been forgiven, forgive. When God says that, why is he saying that? Just to test us? Just to see whether we're so loyal to him that we're willing to even forgive that jackass who did that to me? But I'm willing to forgive anyway. Just to show my loyalty to Jesus? Is that why God says it? No. Why does God tell us to forgive? For whose benefit is God's instruction that we forgive? It is not the person being forgiven. It is the person doing the forgiving. That's why God tells us. You know, when somebody does something wrong to you, if you don't forgive, you're basically going to keep caught up in that situation over and over and over and over. And every reaction to the reaction almost makes it worse every time. And it's like, you know, it's like your enemy stuck a knife in you and your lack of forgiveness is you twisting the knife. Oftentimes, the person who did the thing that was wrong, A, may not have realized it, but they've moved on. They have no idea what you're suffering with now. But the person who needs to forgive continues to suffer with the circumstance and the situation. Because when we choose to not forgive, we give the devil an opportunity. I don't want us to blunder through life naively, completely confused as to why things are happening the way they are. There are things that we can't explain, no question. But a lot of what we deal with is really the consequence of how we chose to react. I am not justifying anybody doing something wrong to us. There is never a justification for wickedness. Never. But we who have begun to have and enjoy peace with God, we need to sort of clue up and say, hey, look, there is something more precious here than me just getting my own way and my own revenge here. What really matters here is that God gets what he wants in my life and this person's life. So let's start with God getting what he wants in my life. I'm going to forgive this person. I'm not going to add any more gasoline to this fire, but rather I'm going to put it out by choosing to forgive. There's a couple of songs on the radio that talk about it. I'm not a big fan of Christian radio, but nevertheless, once in a while you hear something that's actually, okay, they got a point there. And there's one song that's, I don't remember what it's called, but the person who's being set free in forgiveness is actually the person doing the forgiveness. When I forgive, I'm actually the person being set free. And that's something that the devil desperately does not want you to realize. And so there's so much emotion attached to it. How could they do that to me? It's not fair. And usually you're right. It isn't fair. But that isn't the question. Do you want to continue letting this harm you or not? Because the moment you choose to forgive, and forgiveness is a choice, it is a decision and a commitment, it is not a feeling. right? It is a choice to say, though I am entitled to revenge for this, I let this person go. It's in God's hands. I choose to bless this person and say, that's it, it's out of my hands. When I do that, I'm the one being released. I shut the door on any further opportunity for the devil, because that's what he's looking for. If you think what the devil wants to do to you is just that first incident, you are sorely mistaken. That first initial blow, that first initial attack where somebody did something wicked or harmful or hurtful to you, that's just the devil looking for the opportunity. He's fishing. And our reaction there either gives him more room or it shuts him down completely. And we have been called to peace. We have been called to peace. I'm going to stop here, actually. Next week, we will go a little bit further and look at Philippians chapter 4 and how we let peace rule. But I want you to start just by considering your reaction to the things that happen in the course of everyday life. So I'm not talking about grand events merely. I'm talking about when you get up tomorrow and you start going through things and things start going the wrong way. Your reaction matters. Let me put it this way. May God help each one of us to come to that place where his reaction, that is, God's reaction to my reaction, matters to me. Do you follow that? I want to be a person who is concerned with what God thinks about what I think. Because if I am really concerned about, okay, now not what do I think about this, or how am I going to react to this, or what's fair in this, but if rather my first thought is, what does God think about how I'm reacting right now? I want him to be pleased with it. Then you will be kept on track. You will shut doors that the devil had tried to open very quickly. When what matters to you more is what God thinks about what's going on than anything else, you're in a very safe place. Your reaction to the things that happen matters. May you be a person for whom peace matters. More important than me getting my revenge, more important than me getting this wrong righted. And I'm not saying that we should not seek to right wrongs, okay? So I'm not saying just abandon any claim that you have or anything like that. But more important than all of those things is peace ruling in my heart. Because when I am in peace, God can do wonders through me. When I'm agitated, when I'm anxious, when I'm fretting, the only result will be evil doing. I want what God thinks to be more important to me than anything else. This is the fear of the Lord, and it keeps you safe. Let's stop there. If you're a person who's struggling with forgiving someone or in a circumstance can't figure out why things are happening, please come and see me afterwards, and I'll gladly pray with you. Forgiveness is a choice, but that doesn't mean we can't help one another with it. God wants you to walk in blessing. He really does. He really does. It doesn't matter where you're at right now, how backward or how far away you seem from the things that he has made possible. It doesn't matter how poorly of a walk you've had, how poor of a walk you've had with him up to now. He still wants you to walk in blessing. He still opens a door for you to keep going. Just because you haven't walked in it yet doesn't mean you can't tomorrow or even today. But the issue is that you understand God has ways. And your reaction matters. God has poured out peace, that it would rule in our hearts, that it would keep us, sustain us, make it possible for us to do things that we would never be able to do naturally. I have a part to play in that. I want to let peace rule. I don't want to give the devil an opportunity with my reactions to things. Let's give him thanks, and then we'll go on from